The following autobiographical interview was held on November 29, 1993 with Mrs. Barbara Hoffman, a native of Karlik, Alaska, and current resident of the town of Kodiak, Alaska. The interview was conducted in her home by Lori Verbitsky from the Alaska History class at Kodiak Community College. Describe the town or the village that you grew up in.
Small. There might have been like 50 or maybe 60 people from the village. And I grew up with my grandma, she was my sister. And everybody knew everybody. I learned how to tie knots though one year. Tie knots. That's all you learned all winter long.
Was it useful?
I guess when I went fishing. What
did most of the people in the village do?
They're fishing. And then fish and then just go home.
Any particular method of fishing right there?
Beach thing. When the fish was poor, didn't get much fish, they went out on not very good boat. They went to the mainland and fished over there.
What did the land look like in Karlik? What was there?
We had small brush, not big, but to us as a child, me as a child, it was small, big. And we had plankways as our walkways, the steps went up the road, steps always been in the way it went up. The steps were clean, we had a bridge that crossed the river, went across to the store, and the store was on the other side, and the bridge was on the other side. And you have both sides. I don't know what it's all about.
Lots of mountains, or is it?
Yeah, it's right in the, like the bay, like the river. Karlik runs right through the village. Karlik's on one side, and both sides on the other side. There's mountains all over, right up to the.
Could you ask a little bit about the school, as far as going to that a little bit more? What age did you start at?
Gee, I guess I started at first grade.
About 5 or 6?
And I went up right up to 8th grade.
Did the Bureau of Indian Affairs, did they run up the school of this whole 8 years?
I guess, I don't know. I just remember them running that one year there. And all we did was play, and they fed us macaroni and cheese and bread crackers. That stuck in my mind.
What else do you remember about the school?
It was nice. I liked it because it was all in one room. From first grade on up to 8th grade, they all stayed in one room, but different section with a big building.
Were the teachers there the natives, locals, or were they brought in from?
They were brought in from the United States. I don't remember them from that. Except for one teacher that was in the 6th grade. And really taken learning how to spell them all. And I couldn't spell the fly. Just that I was thinking of. I couldn't spell that word. And he sat me in that room and I just all day maybe practiced that word before. And I said that my bad words were going to my head all night long.
Because.
I couldn't spell it. And there were some teachers that when you did wrong too, you know, like you made noise or something in the classroom, they made a sickness on you or the back so long you. My sister and I got married at the same time. And when my dad heard about it, they raised the left hand.
Do they teach much Native culture?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose not.
It was all, I remember Curious George, which we had on Curious George, we had that, and Dick and Jane, and Scotland.
Was there any place that you were taught Native culture? From family or
just my grandma. She really was just me. She was from.
What do you remember about what she taught you?
Well, she raised us like keep them in house. She taught us that was what the woman place was to be was to keep house. Mm-hmm.
I
watched her, but I never learned how. It always fascinated me though because she was blind and she knew how to do everything. She knew anything about it, water, she knew. The person who came to the door, she knew that it was fully even entered the house just by her voice.
What about the housing?
Well, some of us had running water, some didn't have running water. Most of us had outhouses. We didn't have bathrooms. Some of them did. Not all of them. And what is not to tap water? And when it rained like this here, there's a bunch of barrels outside. To collect the water from washing clothes. He said it was good to make the clothes up. And the grandma used to make us, when we washed the sheets, early in the spring, we washed them and then we put them on the grass. And then we on the water. It's just to make them nice and comfortable.
What other chores did you have as a child?
Well, we had just about everything. But she couldn't do it. We had water, chopped wood. We had woodsters. That's the years when my dad was.
Where was your house located in the village?
We had two houses. One was up on the hill, and then one was down the hill. Down the hill house was a summertime house, and up the hill house was a wintertime house. It was closer to the church. That one, like, I'm careful. It didn't have running water, that house. But we had all, it was pretty hiking here. Nice and warm, cool in wintertime. Because wintertime, she had, you know, we used to have to close the windows. They closed them. I said, well, why do they have to close the windows? No, we keep off the grass. The windows were a little bit left up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that. And we had an oil stove and a wood stove up there too. But most of the time we used the oil stove. And the church was very, well, like for us it was a hop, skip, a jump, like my grandma was not quite always. Down to Hill House, my dad got, he won that playing Oochup, I guess is what it's called. Oochup, and it's shooting with a dart on a little tiny fish, one loop from across the room, hanging from the ceiling, and it's just like it's hanging in the air, and you have to hit that. And that's how he won the host.
Was this a special game that was played at a certain time?
Yeah, just certain times that was played. I think it was during Lent time, when they couldn't play, so they found things.
Any other special times you may have? Game times or celebration times?
Mm-hmm. Easter time, church bells would be ringing all day long for 3 days. You hear those bells ringing all day long. And then they had mariachi, and the men played baseball, and they played archery. They played that, and then they played that on the island. There was an island that separated Ocala from the village, that it was right in the middle of the village. And they played down there. And it was always pretty neat there. Had grown-ups here, teenagers here, little younger kids down here. We're all playing all different games at the same time. Then all of a sudden you start hearing the bells. Oh, running through speakers and all the way up the hill, go to church. They drop off their plane and go to church again. And hear the bells up there.
Every day?
For 3 days.
Oh,
during Easter.
What else do you remember about the church?
Well, it was very strict. You couldn't turn around. The elders always watched what you were doing. You had to stand like a stiff board, just staring straight ahead. You so much as turned your head, your ears got pulled. I mean, you couldn't turn this way or that way. Somebody was always there to pull your ears or make you couldn't speak. You couldn't, do anything. You just stand there and look straight ahead all the time. That was pretty cool. I think I got my ears pulled once. My grandma lectured me before we go to church. The behavior was pretty good. You always have to set a good example for the other kids. And with my grandma, because her being the oldest lady in the village, everybody respected her. And they always came to her for advice. So we have to set a good example for the other kids. And if it's kind of hard, then sometimes you want to just be a kid, We saw. Couldn't do those things, though. She was pretty strict and thorough.
What other things do you remember about that? Like the status in the village? Is there a distinction between different peoples as far as something more important than others? Because she was respected because of her age. Was there other reasons they would be respected?
She was a midwife. She delivered half the people in the village. And she just knew. I don't know what it was about her, but they just respected her. We had a chief, and he took care of the men. Kept them in order. So I always remember one time during Lent time, we cleaned the whole village preparing for Easter. We cleaned it, the whole, from your house, inside, outside, we cleaned everything. Everything. Attics, everything was cleaned out from all winter long and all. Threw everything away and burned everything. This one time, I guess I was, I might have been 11, maybe 12. The fishermen, you know, they used to come to Colac all the time to fish. You'd have boats all over down there, maybe 15, 20, sometimes 30 boats would come down there to fish in Shelter Creek. One of them came down, I won't mention names. And he came down and he rode in our school, you know, you don't do the pretty down in our village. He rode in our school, he did the whole thing, he marked the whole school. Our school was red, by the way. And he used a chalk. And our chief got a hold of him, and he had to clean the whole thing. Everybody was just laughing, all the kids said, you know, you see them just laughing at this kid here. He figured he's going to come in and destroy our village. But chief got a hold of him. He said right away, you know, the chief asked who did it, and they knew who did it, and he got him. He didn't do it after that.
What other responsibilities did the chief have that you knew?
Well, I'd keep them things running smoothly on the church and the village part. And he was the chief for fishing, you know, there was two sides of fishing, down in the improvement side and then in Carlock side. There's two seines they ran, divide the men up to both sides and took care of them. My dad was a straw box. A straw box. I guess that's what they call it.
What was that?
He sat there and waved his arms. When it was time to pull the seine in or which way to go, push the boat, let the boat go. That was his job. Then he ran the winch that pulled the seine in. I could just see all that.
How is Carlock different today?
Boy, there's a lot of difference. Back then, I think there was more respect for the elders, and they had more respect for themselves too. But now it's just too much alcohol down there. Free. Before you have to work for your living. I mean, you work for your living. They paid like 2 cents a fish. And my dad used to fish. When he brought in like $800 for the whole season, and we lived on that for the whole winter. $700. And we lived on that. And we lived off the land. He'd go hunting for ptarmigan, ducks, and they'd go fishing, spear fishing under the ice, put a hole in the ice and spear for fish. Sometimes you get pretty lucky, you get some fish in there. Most of the time it was flounder. We live off of that. We put up a lot of fish, we sell the fish. We smoked fish, we dried fish, and we ate like that. But most, my dad, he'd buy bulk stuff and store them for the winter.
Do you remember alcohol being a problem when you were growing up?
Not till I got to be, maybe 10, 11. Make it.
What made the change and what made the difference?
I think that was when the plane started flying in. That's what made the difference. The planes start flying to the villages, they start bringing the mail. Instead of it coming by boat once a month, we used to get mail once a month. It started coming down once a week or something like that. I think I was 8 years old when that flew. So I was on the very first plane that left. And they nearly hit the mountain. was on my way into cardiac care for my senses. We didn't have doctors. We had hygiene used to come around. The doctors, they'd come down there on a boat, and we'd all go out there, and the doctors would give you a complete overhaul. They'd pull teeth and fill teeth. Check your ears and eyes and x-rays and everything. And then one time I went out there, I can't remember how old I was. But anyhow, it got back. I came home and I said, told my grandma, I said, everything was fine. Then I don't know how in the world the rumor started I had TB. Right now my grandma heard that. She put me to bed. I said, but I'm fine. I'm not sick. That was the thing, putting him to bed. And I had to stay in bed for about 2 days. So my dad found out that there was nothing wrong, just some kid decided to start a rumor that I was sick. And I had to go to bed. That was the worst thing I could do, is put me to bed. I remember my grandma made those feather beds in the bunks. We had one big one, and I liked that one. That was the best bed. Winter time. Sometimes it was too hot. Winter time was fine. I used to get on the end of the bed and just fall right back down, and the bed would come right over me. I just have a blanket on top. And that was my day. She always had a habit of changing the rooms around. One year we'd have the back bedroom would be a bedroom. The next year she'd have it into a kitchen. She'd switch them around all the time. She'd love to do that, have people, you know, switch the bedrooms around. The back bedroom would come out kitchen, and one way or the other, we always want them. The back bedroom became the kitchen. Kitchen became the back bedroom. That was how it was. Not so much down the hill house though. She never changed that around. Just up to him. When I was 15, I went to school down to Mount Pittsburgh. But I came back. I was down there for 9 months. And I came back home for
Where was that school at?
At Mount Edgecombe and Sitka. Right across from Sitka. I went there for about a year, and then I went down to California to school down there for 2 months, 4 months. And I couldn't get along down there.
And why was that?
There was just too much prejudice. I just didn't fit in with the crowd or anything. Being from Alaska, it seemed like every class I went to, they found out I was from Alaska. I'd have to get up. This is back in 1959. I had to get up in the classes and talk and tell them about Alaska. And I tell them we have cars, we have running water, we have houses, we have TV, we have movies, but they wouldn't believe me. They just said I was a liar. They said that we lived in igloos. I said, no, we don't live in igloos. And every class I went to, I had to do that. I had to get up. And I got rid of, criticized and everything from kids. And I didn't like that.
What did you do after that?
I was going to join the service, and I met my husband. Didn't get joined the service, met my husband, and got married.
And is your husband native?
Nope, he's from Massachusetts. It's my, I was down there with my sister. She was expecting her first child, and she had to be put into bed because she was having difficulties. And so she sent for me to help her during that time, and she, her husband's brother was born here. Two sisters married brothers.
Was that a problem, being married to a non-native?
No.
Did you run into prejudice with?
We didn't, at home, when I got home, when we came back up here, I didn't run into that.
Was the problem in California?
Mm-mm. No prejudice there either. Just in Anchorage we ran into it a little bit. And then when we went back east, we ran into that. My husband didn't notice it, but I did. He just, because that's his people, you know, he just mingled right in, but I was always left out, so that's fine, I just let him enjoy himself.
And when did you come back to Alaska?
After we got married? Well, right, about 2 months, 3 months after we got married, came back,
You went east after that?
No, that was after we had it. Two kids, we went back to see the rest of his family, to meet them. He comes from a big family, 10 kids. But my husband was accepted right into our family with no problem. Our grandma met him on the bridge, and he just grabbed his hands and started dancing with him on the bridge. I always remember that. Just started dancing with him.
Your kids, you have how many?
Five.
And where were they raised now?
Oh, here, okay.
What did you notice about the difference between their schooling and your schooling?
Well, what did I notice? They had a lot of homework. That much I know. It was like the parents, the teachers were more with the parents, working with the parents, rather than how I was brought up. It was just with the kids, you know, didn't associate with the parents. Here, they had the PTAs and everything. The teachers were always calling to let me know how the kids are doing and associating with us, rather than just us sending the kids to school. And every so often, we have to go up to find out how they're doing, how they're progressing in school. That was not like that at home. We brought home a report card, and that was it.
How about as far as the classes that you studied? Was like the material different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot different. And they got into that modern math there. I told them, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to ask the teacher to help you with that because I don't understand it. And I still don't understand it. Didn't make sense to me. A lot of times I said, well, why are they teaching you all this modern stuff? All you need to know how to do is read, write, and arithmetic. But they get into everything else.
What have you noticed in the difference between the values when you grew up and what you see now?
Well, a lot of people, when we were growing up, this church had a lot to go to the center. And people don't go to church that often. Only on like Easter and Christmas, we will see them in the church. You know, like on Fridays or Saturdays, my grandma used to see them. But you don't see that many people doing that anymore. And as a child growing up, the church, there wouldn't be maybe Maybe one or two people that wouldn't be in church at all. You know what? Church was always packed. And it was good, you know, especially on Easter. I used to love that time of the year, because during Lent time, everything in the church was always dark. Just dark. And when we went around the church, we sang carols, Christmas, Easter songs, we sang them, Christ is risen, and we go around, and we come back into the church, it's all lit up, it's just bright, and it's cute, and we sing happy songs. I didn't understand them, but they were happy. They had a more livelier tune to it. You know, it wasn't sad like during the 7 weeks of Lent. That wasn't this time of year. And people were all dressed all in white and light colors, light colors. But now, I don't know, I guess they just go in and they half the time they don't even go, and then when they do go, like on Good Fridays, they're already starting to drink before midnight service. And after staying sober all those 7 whole weeks, and not even care. It seems like they're just drifting away from church and the tradition of the Lord.
How else do you see the alcohol affecting?
They're neglecting their children. They're passing on to the children. The children already are drinking at a younger age than when we were growing up. I don't remember seeing any kids drinking. They might have tried to smoke. That was the big thing. We always got caught, because we never realized, we never put it two and two together for a long time. How did they know we were smoking? We realized the smoke was going up and they could see.
What do you think caused the change towards the alcoholism?
Well, they got too much free stuff from the government, I think. They made the people, you know, before they used to have to go and get what they wanted. They have, in order for them to eat, they grew it, they have to grow it or go hunt for it. Now it's just, they wait for it in the mail. It's free. They don't have to work. Why bother working when it's there? And I think the government just means our people. Now they got the white man's medicine, the blue. They don't make their own alcohol anymore. There's a very few in that room that they can do. They just buy it. And they charter planes into town here just to get their stuff and go back and drink. And I think the government should stop that. Who's out there and free this and that, and say, hey, you guys should get on the bus. They're running a living. That's right.
How do you see the church having changed, the influence of the church having changed over the years?
The parents aren't as strict as our parents were as a child. I see that. They made us go to church, whether we left it or not. Nowadays, the kids rule the house instead of the parents ruling the house. That I see.
Do you think there's potential for change?
Oh, yes. Just need to string a man down there. We need somebody that they're afraid of and respect. To take authority over the whole village and run it like they used to run. Somebody that they look up to and respect the people.
living in Kodiak versus living in Carlick, what benefits do you have?
Well, I don't have to walk, get in my car. Down there you have to walk wherever you have to go. But now they have two-wheelers. When I was growing up, we didn't have that. If you wanted to go from one place, you used a skip. That was a kicker, or even the oars. But here in Kodiak, you've got just turn the light on, you've got your lights.
What advantages did the village have that you miss here in Kodiak?
Kind of the closeness of family being together. I remember us growing up, we were all, you know, when a child had a birthday, the village celebrated. And they, when the prince of the house had to go out, they would show up. It was always nice. But it never understood it. The person that had the birthday was always the last one to sit on the table. They always made the adults, the elders, sit first, you know, and then they went right down the line. My grandma always celebrated my birthday every year. And the whole village always came. And you don't see that anymore because they're always competing with one another. I got this, I got that, it's better than yours. Not, if it's not better than yours, they try to go out and make it even better. It's not helping. And if they don't help one another, when somebody's sick or something gone home, they used to go and help them. You know, they clean their house, watch their kids, they cook for them, and so they got better. And they always stayed there at the house where the person was helping. Gave more support, you know, keeping their mind off what's going on. You don't see that anymore.
Would you ever go back to the village?
I'd like to.
What would that be?
Now, since I became a Christian, I'd like to go back. I hope there's any hope in the world. I don't think they even know who the Lord is. And it's just sometimes I just sit and my heart just aches or I feel so bad. That they, you know, they go to church, but they're just going because that's what they were taught. They weren't taught anything else. There's nothing down there to show that they're going to be curious, because as a child when I was growing up, we had a missionary down there. And that kind of, I said, hey, what's going on? There's two different kinds of things here. We go to this church, and yet she's down there, she's preaching something else. So I used to kind of wonder about it. And I was exposed to that at early age. And they don't know anything anymore. And they need something to learn more. There is different types of churches and different. There is a God up there that does listen. They don't have to live that kind of life if they
didn't. How do you think it affects their lives?
I think they become better people and try to better themselves and go out and say, hey, we need a handout from the government and just go do it for themselves rather than depend on the government. Why should we go to work when it's free? That's the way they see it.
Do your children have an interest in the family?
Yeah, they're good. They want to know where they're from. When they're going to get their land. We keep waiting for that too, though. Land that the government's supposed to give us and they never gave us. I said, I don't think they're really good at it anymore. One way or the other, the government's going to get it back anyway.
They They don't give you the land, but they give you the things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And they take away a lot of stuff too, you know. The privileges of doing things.
What aspects of the native culture do you regret losing? Regret seeing disappear?
Our native language. That's disappearing completely. I was brought up with Aleut Russian, but I just never did pick it up. I understand it. I can listen to other people talking. If you have me talk with me, I don't know why. I was 5 when I went to my grandma, and I spoke nothing but English. I just never had the urge to learn it, I guess. Because when we went to school, it was all English.
Was there any native trades or cultural things that you remember as a child that you don't see anymore? Like the games you were talking about?
No, we don't see that anymore.
The artwork?
No. I don't think we did any artwork. We did it in school, but we didn't.
You mentioned that you liked the closeness of the of village life. What sort of things did the people in the community do to encourage that closeness, or how did they get together?
As kids, we used to play kick the can. That was our favorite pastime. The whole village would get together, and it didn't matter what kind of, how old you were, like down from little kids up to teenagers, we played. In the evenings, or late afternoons, it started. And it was always centered right around the school. The school sat right in the middle of the village. The houses were along, and then the river ran in front of the school. The houses were along the school. And that's where we played, and the parents watched as we played there. And they kept an eye on their little kids, you know. They were kids playing too. They were kids playing. You have to, you kick it and you have to bring it back, pop it, you know, pop it. Then when you find somebody, you call it, it's over. Something like that. It's been so long. Something. And you jump over the ground, all the kids' names. If you catch them all, then it was the first person that you've seen. It's their turn to get the candy. A lot of times you're at it for a long time, because there's a lot of kids playing there, and you could be going around the building, and some kids would come from the other end, and there goes the can. And have to go back together to get and start all over. We have, you know, we enjoyed that. There's the closeness of being together and laughing and having fun. And then if we didn't play that, they had movies down there. We got together on there, and a lady, she used to, you know, send the movies. And I first started watching it. And we'd watch that one movie maybe 3-4 times a week. The same movie. Then we'd go out and we'd go and we'd imitate whatever was a cover in England. Sometimes that sort of thing. If they cover something. We had a lot of things. Just to get it. And wintertime, you know. Families would go up the river and they'd go ice skating and we'd eat her. Then in the evening we'd build a bonfire and we'd sing around the bonfire. And we'd always be together. And you don't see that now. There's always just a few falls, one here, one goes here, one goes there. And we don't just do it as a family. It's all gone.
Do you think raising a family is more difficult now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just too much. We didn't have TV. We had radios. We listened to radios, but that was not the whole thing. And we always had something to do. We never sat around idle. There was always something to do. We never, no art, we had to sit idle now. We also have to pack wood, pack water, get ready for winter. Always doing something. And just sitting around.
Do you ever go out on the fishing boats?
Not till I got married. That was another thing that it used to be when it was not. It was never rough out there. Very seldom. But summertime would it be rough out there. Just in the winter we'd have some pretty good northeasters. That was good, thinking, good sized storms. And those good sized ones, they'd wash over them. When I went to school, we had the school down in the village. Then when BIA lost the school, and I think the state took over down the school, and they built it up on the old college side, and we had to walk over there. I don't know how far that would be. I used to remember that. It's quite a ways. We had to walk through snow and ice. I remember when I was in the 7th grade, I never missed one day of school. I wasn't late, and I was so proud of myself. I was setting myself a record. We were sitting outside. It was beautiful, sunny day, spring, just the first week. And it was so cold and cold. This blanket, you know, I had set myself a goal, and I broke it, and got sick. Things that the kids don't even think about, those things, you know. They just want to argue and fight in the corner.
Who would you say was the most influential person in your life?
My grandma, she was the one that raised me from the time I was 5 years old. And I was home. So, she used to tell some good fairy tale stories. But half the time I didn't understand her, but I understood some of it. She could speak in Russian now. But you get to the Russian part there. It killed me off, so I wave at my sister. She said, "What you think?" And she knew what I was doing. And she'd get mad at me and scold me, you know. And she said to me, "There's one fable that I like. How the fat lady got into the eye of the needle." That's just really fascinating. How she ever did that, I don't know.
Do you remember that story?
No, that was the only part that really stuck with me, was that. And then she used to tell some stories about the ladies, how she turned into a bear. A lot of them. And how the raven got its blue eyes. That one I very kind of remember. He goes up from the mountain and he's picking picked some blackberries and tried them on. I said, didn't pick them so good, so it's really good. Got some cranberries, tried them on, and didn't like them either. And I don't know where he came across the blue ones, but he put the blue ones on. And he liked the blue ones.
Did they tell many stories like that when you were young?
My grandma did, yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to love that. Grandma, can you tell us some stories? We'd comb her hair, we'd rub her back, and she'd tell stories. And either she'd be sitting there, she'd be darning some socks, and darning something. And it was like person. What happened then? Later on, we got the lights, and that was down the hill. Our field house didn't have, like I said, it wasn't modernized. Our field house had running water, and it had lights. We mentioned that lights.
And why did you move up to the upper house?
For church. Grandma had to be up on the upper hill. Winter time, it was too far for her to walk on the steps. It might have been like 100 and... When I was 16, I did my 17 steps up the hill and up to the church. So rather than climb those steps every Saturday and Sunday, we lived on up the hill. And what summertime, we moved down the hill, it wasn't so bad for her.
And are your parents still living?
Just my mom. My dad passed away when I was 15.
And what are their names?
My dad's name is Nikolai, Akuli, and my mom's name is Vida Krishna. She got married. My grandpa's name was Oscar Norell. My grandma's name was Daria. She had an Elliot name. My dad's dad was Uwaku. That was his name. I don't know his last name. My grandma on my mom's side, she was full-blooded Elliot. And my dad's dad was full-blooded, and my grandma. 80 years ago. She outlived 5 husbands. I didn't believe that yet. 5 husbands. They figured she was close to 100 when she died. They didn't even know how old she was. She came over from the mainland, someplace she came from. And she remembers the Russians being here in Kodiak and everything. How they took the people in and the slaves and she said up in Larsen Bay there's an island where the Aleuts used to fight. So we find all their spears. I sure would like to find that island. She made the best pie too. I never know how she could see or know if we misplaced something. We didn't have it that she knew right away. A lot of times we try to, you know, we had to clean the house. Curtains, windows, everything. And when we wash clothes, we have to iron our bed sheets, our towels, everything has to be ironed and put in their own places. Couldn't move them.
She couldn't breathe. We moved them and he got hollered at.
We had the nail once a month, the shoe yak. Some people would remember the shoe yak, and it's was run by Bob Shee. Bob Shee. He ran the shoe yak and got the nail done. That was a big time for us because we got fresh, we got groceries and more food and stuff. Apples and oranges.
Overall, do you have good memories of your childhood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some bad times too, but they're going away. I don't dwell on them anymore as I used to dwell on them. Just makes me unhappy when you dwell on the past. Good times. And we used to get the, in the spring there, you know, they ran a store down there, and by springtime, our groceries, our supplies would be pretty low. So we were doing APA, ran the stores down there, Last Cup Crafters Association. And they'd bring a scows down full of groceries, and had all kinds of pop and all kinds of candy, different kinds of candy, and gum, and all that. And they used to bring the food down, the canned foods, and I don't remember how they brought the meats, though. They brought them whole or they brought them frozen. It was so good when they, the men would accidentally drop a box, and then there would be candy all over. All the kids would be just running there with free candy. Then their storekeeper, he'd clean out the bins with the apples, and he'd throw some apples out there, and they'd turn the box away, and he'd throw some apples out, and kids would be over there grabbing all that apples. Because the only way the kids would grab them, he'd give us good apples, he wouldn't show just the old ones. He's a good stuff. Joe Brown was his name. Wonderful man. He was storekeeper for 25 years. Right on.